Daf is Daf Nun Dalet. Today's learning is sponsored by the Hershkovitz family, leader in Shas Moshe Ben Yehuda Leib, and by the Wiener family, before Shlema Daniela Tzipora Bas Dina. So we got to the bottom of Nun Gimel and Beis after the Mishnah, the last seven lines. The Gemara pointed out that our Mishnah we learned yesterday said Misha Nital Aron, when the Aron was taken. And the Gemara points out Misha Nignaz Lo Katani Ela Misha Nital Tanan. Doesn't say when it was hidden. Doesn't say Lashon Geniza. Rather, it says Nital when it was taken. What does it mean it was taken? So the Gemara points out there's actually a machlokus what had happened to the Aron. So the Gemara says again Misha. This holds like the one who felt that Aron Gala Libavel. Not that the Aron was Nignaz, like we learned the other day, Yoshiah Melech hid it, rather it was taken to Bavel. That's what means in the mission of Mishanitel Aron. How do we know that the Aron was taken to Bavel, according to this opinion? The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us that Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Aron Gala Libavel, Shenemar, Tezen Divrei Yamim, Ulis Shuvas Hashana, the return of the year, Shalach HaMelech Nebuchadnezzar, he sent, Vayviyehu Bevela, they brought to Bavel, Im Klichemdas Beis Hashem, the most precious of the vessels of the Beis Hashem, the Beis Hamikdash, namely, the Aron was confiscated, was stolen, brought to Bavel. And furthermore, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer, Aron Gala LaBavel, he also felt that the Aron was exiled, was taken to Bavel. Shinemar, he brings a different pasuk. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, Lo Yivaser Davar Amar Hashem, Dvar Amar Hashem, nothing was left from the words of Hashem. What's Dvar Hashem? Elu Aseres Hadibros Shebo. So the Aseres Hadibros, the Aron that was housing, the Aseres Hadibros was taken, Lo Yivaser, was not remaining in base in the Mikdash, rather taken to Bavel. So it comes along now, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we are now a couple lines at the end of Nun Gemara Beis, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Aron Bim Komo Nignaz. Rabbi Yehuda felt that the Aron was not taken to Bavel, rather it remained in the Har Bayis, hidden beneath. Shinam Artez in the Pasuk, Vayerau Rashi Habadim Min HaKodesh Al Pnei HaDvir. They were able to see the poles of the Aron protruding through the Dvir, the Paroches. V'lo Yerau HaChuta was not visible from the outside, Vayuhusham Ad Hayom Hazeh remained there until this very day. So it was going to be, it stayed in there according to this understanding. We're going to address later on, Chaim asked the other day, well, if the Aron was only by his Rishon, and there is no parochas in Bais Rishon, there's only amatraxin, so how were they able to see the bottom protruding? There's no curtain, it was as a wall. So we're going to see on the Daf Nun Dalet, Rashi's going to address this. So Gemara then says, okay, Pligi De'ula. So there's a machlokas whether or not the Aron was taken to Bavel or it remained hidden on Har Bayis. So Ula argues and says, at least according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, this machlokas is what he felt. We just showed Rabbi Shimon's understanding that he felt it was sent to Bavel. We're now going to bring a raya that he actually felt it was hidden in Har Bayis. So Pligi de Ula argues on the understanding of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Damar Ula said, Shal Rabbi Masya ben Charesh es Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. They asked him the following question. Beromi, when they were in Rome. V'chimi achash Rabbi Eliezer melamdenu pam rishon v'shnia. After the fact that Rabbi Eliezer taught us, not once but twice, that the Aron was Galal Bavel, how do we know, where's the rishon, where's the first indication that the Aron was taken to Bavel, how the Aron, that which we said, it says in the Pasuk, Vayvi'ehu Bavela im klichem das beis Hashem. That's one raya. It was taken to Bavel. And Shnia, the second raya, Mahi dechsev, it says in Eicha, Vayete mi bas tzion, it left from bas tzion, kol hadara, and my kol hadara, chadra. The Gemara has in several places throughout Shas where you could switch the hey and a ches and make a drasha. Kol Hadra means beauty. Kol Hadra means what? Rashi in the very top of Nun Dalet says, Kol Hadra is that Haganas Bechadri Chadarim, that which is hidden in the most inner room, namely the Aron. So that was taken to Bavel. So the two rayas that Bavel, that they took the Aron to Bavel. So Ata, you, so now back to the conversation, you Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Ma Ata Omer, what are you going to explain? So Amar Lo, I hold from a different pasuk, Shani Omer, I hold that Aron bimkomo nignaz, it actually was hidden in a Har Bayis. Shenemar tezim malachim aleph vayarichu habadim. And the pasuk goes on to say vayihu sham ad hayom hazeh. So there's a machlokas. Did Rabbi Shimon assume that it was nignaz on Har Bayis, or was it taken to Bavel? Either way, whatever Shimon holds, there certainly is a machlokas. What had happened to the Aron? So Gemara now wants to know. Amar le Rabba leula my mashma. Where do you see from the pasuk that the Aron remained on Har Bayis? Is it going to be because the chsiv vayhu sham ad hayom hazeh? Is it those words? Are those words sham ad hayom hazeh that indicates something remains there forever? I'm going to bring you a couple kashas that those same words are used elsewhere, and it doesn't mean it was there eternally. So how do we have this? V'chol heichad d'chsiv, whenever it says ad hayom hazeh, it means li olam hu, it means forever, it means eternally. V'haksiv, the pasuk says in Shoftim, v'es hayivusi yoshev Yushalayim, the Yevusi remain Yushalayim lo horishu b'niyam, b'niyam were not successful in sending them out of Yushalayim. V'yeshev hayivusi es b'nei b'niyam b'Yushalayim, they remain together living in maybe not much of peace and harmony, but they lived in Yushalayim ad hayom hazeh, until this very day, which means forever, li olam, they live there. Hachanami, is that really true that the Yevusi and Bnei Binyamin live there forever? Hachanami de lo galu, they were never exiled from then until now. Fatani, the Brisa says that Rabbi Yehuda Omri made the following drasha: there were 52 shana, there are 52 years from the Chorban Beis Hamikdash that until the Beis Hamikdash by Hashem is rebuilt, where the entire Yerushalayim was desolate. Nobody lived there. Lo aver ish be Yehuda. No one lived in the areas of Yehuda. It's completely desolate of man and animals. Shenemar, it says in Yirmiyahu, Al heharim esa v'chi v'nei, on the mountains I'm going to cry, v'al ne'os midbar kina, and the pastures of the land he's going to lament, v'ki nitzasu mibli ish over it, because the place was desolate for men, no one passed through, v'lo shamu kol mikne, and not the sound of cattle, me'of ha'shemayim v'ad behema nadadu halachu, and all those from the birds of the sky and the animals of the ground, no one passed through for 52 years. So how could the pasuk say ad hayom hazeh if there was not true? It wasn't from now until forever, from then until now. There was 52 years, or there was emptiness there. So the Gemara says behema is the gematria chamishim u'shtaim havu. 52 is the gematria behema. That means for 52 years, for years of behema years, if you will, 52 years, it was empty. No one lived there, even though the pasuk did say ad hayom hazeh. Not only that, V'tanya says furthermore in another bryce, there be Yosi Omer Sheva Shalom Niskaima, there were 7 years where the klala of Gofris Vamelach, the pasuk goes on to say, Shrefa Chal Arza, where there's going to be sulfur and salt burning throughout the entire land for 7 years, Beretz Yisrael. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time of the Rabbi Yosi, what was the reason of Yosi? Asya Bris Bris, it says Bris Bris, it says by Gavriel, it says, Vigbir Bris L'Rabim Shavu Echa, there's going to be a full Shemitah cycle of the bris, and Uksiv Hasmet says that Vamru and the end of Dvarim Al Asher Ozves Bris Hashem Elokav Osam, that you left my bris, so it's going to lead to a destruction of this Gafris Vamelach. So either way, there were 7 years apparently, in addition to the 52 years we just mentioned, there was another 7 years where they're completely desolate in Eretz Yisrael. It was salt and sulfur in a place disgusting to live. So this cannot mean Ad Yom Hazeh means forever. So Amar Leh, he says no, Hacha Ksiv Sham, hasam, lo ksiv sham. It doesn't mean just the word ad hayom hazeh, it means v'yu sham ad hayom hazeh. When it says sham ad hayom hazeh, by the Aron, that means it was there forever. But when the word sham is not used, it doesn't mean forever, it means for a very long period of time, but doesn't have to mean continuously forever. So that's the difference. So again, the Gemara says, v'chol heicha d'chsiv sham, li'olam hi. So now, if it's really sham ad hayom hazeh, sham really means forever. Is that really true? Meisive asks the Gemara, Umehem min bnei Shimon halchu lahar Seir anashim chamesh meos, and the members of the tribe of Shimon traveled to Har Seir, 500 of them. Uplatya unaria urafaya vuziel bnei ishi brosham, they led the pack. Vayakus sheiras aplata lamalek, they had destroyed and killed some of the remains of Amalek, those who were left behind. Vayishu sham adhimazan, and they lived there until this day. So is that really true? They were there from then until now, forever. The Kfar Allah Sancheirev Melech Asher U Bilbal Kol Aratos. We know the Gemara invokes this a few times that Sancheirev, he had mixed together all the different nations of the world. They didn't remain in one place, and he picked up some people from this country and popped them over there, and from this country popped them over there. He mixed them all together to make one big melting pot throughout the entire year and the entire world, rather. Shenemar says in Yeshaya, V'osir Gvulos Amim, that Sancheirev had removed. He took away the borders of the countries. Vasudaseim Shoseisi, and he took from the treasure houses from all the different countries and he mixed everything together. So it can't be true that they remained there forever. Ad Yom Hazeh, Sham Ad Yom Hazeh. So you see that Sham Ad Yom Hazeh does not necessarily mean eternally. And the Gemara says, you're right, great question. Tiyufta, this is Tiyufta. The Gemara does not have a good answer how to explain this. So now the Gemara goes back to a discussion of the Aram. So Gemara says, Amar of Nachman, Tana, the Brisa teaches us that Chachamim Omrim, Arona Belishchas, Dir HaEtzim HaYaganah. So according to those who felt that the Aron was in fact hidden on Har Bayis. So where was it hidden? So Gemara tells you, I'll tell you where the secret hiding place is. It was in the Lishchas of the Eitim, the Dir Eitim, the place where they kept all the wood and where the different Kohanim who were Bali Mumim, they couldn't do the Avoda, they were able to inspect the Eitim, the wood, that the logs of wood did not have any worms to make them possible for the Mizbeach. So in that Lishchas Dir Eitim, that's where the Aron was hidden somehow, somewhere beneath the tiles. Amr of Nachman bar Yitzchak, Af Ananami Tanina. We also learned in the Mishnah, the Mishnah in Shkalm, if you remember this Maisa, the Maisa B'Koin Echad Shehaya Misasik Avira Ritzpah. There's a certain Koin who is seemingly horsing around. Rashi says, Betil V'Sachak. He was out walking around, playing around, horsing around. He seems to not be doing what he was supposed to be doing there. Avira Ritzpah, he saw the ground, Mishuna Mecharoseha. Some one of the tiles looked a little bit different than the other tiles. Maybe it was a little older, a little newer. Maybe it was a little bit elevated. Maybe a little bit dipped down. Something looked different about this tile. And Uvava Hodias Chaver, who's about to tell his friend, look over there, that tile. And before he's able to say something to his Chaver, Vol Hispik Ligmar Sadavar, he couldn't complete a sentence. Ad Shiyatsa Nishmasa, until he died. The Yadu Beyicha, that individual who was almost told about where this was, he understood that this was a simin. That must have been in place. Sham Ha'aron Ganas. That's where the tile is, where you access the point of the Aaron's hiding place. So my Hava Avid. So what exactly was this Kohen doing, who was telling his friend that he found this strange-looking tile? Amar Rabbi Chelba Misasek Bekardumahaya. He was playing with an axe. So that's how they know, since the Maisa says it was an axe, must be it was in the deer lishchas deer eitzim. It was in the storage house of the wood where they would cut the wood. That's where they found this strange tile where the Aron seemingly was hidden. So Gemara then says further, Tana de Beir Bishmol. Shnei Kohanim Bali Mumim, the two Kohanim Bali Mumim, they since they couldn't do the Avoda, they were charged with the job of checking all the wood before putting the Mizbeach. Hayu Maslin Ba'etim, they'd go through to inspect that there are no worms in the wood. V'nishmata Kardumo She'echamim, and one of the Kohanim's acts went flying. V'nafla Sham, it fell in this very spot. V'yotza Eish V'achalto, and a fire came out and it ate up, it burnt, it killed this Kohen. That one was the location of the Aron. The Gemara then says further about the Aron, Rabbi Yehuda Rami, Ksiv Vayirao Rashay Habadim, Uksiv Lo Yirao Hachutza. So there's a theory in the Pesukim. One Pasuk says that they were able to see the Abadim, the poles of the Aron. But then another Pasuk says that they're not able to see the poles, Lo Yirao Hachutza. How do we reconcile this? Hakeitzada Nirin Ve'Nirin. It appeared but didn't appear, meaning you're able to see the poles hit the Parochas. Parochas kind of stuck out, but you couldn't see through. It was still blocked because the Parochas was not see-through. So the Gemara then says further, it says, Tani Nami Hachi, the Rishon says the same thing, Vayero, Rashi Abadim, you're able to see the end of the poles, Yachol Lohu Zazim Mimkom. One might think that the bottom could not move from the rings there. You know, the poles went to the rings that were held on to the Aron. So Tamalom Vayericho Abadim, you were able to extend the poles, even though you couldn't remove them entirely from the poles, but you're able to move them back and forth, these poles, through the tabals. Yachol you mekarin ba parochas v'yotzin. So now, if you pull the poles out that they're protruding from the parochas, one might have thought maybe it's going to tear through the parochas. Tamalomer v'lo yirao hachutza. You couldn't see it, which meant it did not tear to the parochas. Okay, so what exactly was the what did it look like? So Gemara explains that doch gin ubolten. The poles pushed against the parochas, so it kind of stuck out a little bit, but you couldn't see the poles. It's just like these little bulges in the parochas. Yotzin paparochas, and veneerin, it appeared kishnei dadei isha, like the chest of a woman, shenemar tsur hamor dodi li, bein shadei yalin. My precious, my dear precious, is between the shadei yalin. It's going to rest between the shadim, between the chest of a woman. That's how the image is. So Gemara explains that. Sorry, the idea is, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says here, you couldn't see the actual badim halavim sheva midbar. Wait, I skipped that piece there. No, we're not there yet. I'm sorry. We'll get to that Rashi in just a moment. Fine. Now it's interesting. By the way, there's a beautiful Malbim. The Malbim talks about how the based on the different svarim in Kabbalah that the different parts of the Beis Hamikdash represent the different parts of the body. So here the parochas rep and the badim represented the shadei isha. The Malbim talks about, and I think Parshas Truma, how the Aron Kodesh represented the brain. And he talks about how, I don't know much, I'm not a neurologist or a doctor for that matter, but the brain has three parts to it. And in the Aron was hidden three different things. There was the Luchos Rishonos that were broken, Luchos Shnios, and then the Sefer Torah Moshe Benu. Those represented the three different parts of the brain. I forget what they're all called, but even the shapes of them, they're two hemispheres in the brain that represented the broken luchos, and there's like the squiggly part, which is the Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah, and there's like a long part, which is luchos shnios, something like that. But the different parts of the Beis Hamikdash, which represent different body parts. For example, the Mizbeach represented like the part where you eat, where all the korbanos would go, like the stomach, and the Shulchan the represented like the rib cage, and the menorah represented maybe the heart. Each part had a different, corresponding to a different body part. So here the Gemara says, Parochas is connected to Shadi Isha. So then the Gemara says further, Amar Rav, Ketina, B'shah Shayu Yisrael Olam Neregel, when Klai Yisrael would go Alila Regel 3 times a year, Megalin Lehem Es HaParochas, they would then expose the Parochas, Umarin Lehem Es HaKruvim, they would show the Kruvim, Shayu Ma'orin Zebezet, that the Kruvim were hugging each other, they were hugging each other inside, V'omrim Lo Ahen, and they told Klai Yisrael, you see, we knew that the Kruvim didn't face each other, there was a certain anger in the world. When they face each other, when they hug each other, there is certain love in the world. So they showed how chavid we were. So it says in the Gemara further, Omim lehen, roa chibaschem lefnei amakom kechibas zachar nekeva. The love of Kadosh Baruch Hu has for us, for Klai Yisrael, is like a husband and a wife. So asks the Gemara, Meisiv, Rav Chista, Floyavo, Liros, Kibela, Esakodesh, when it came to the Mishkan, a few weeks ago we read in the Parshas Bamidbar, that the Klai Yisrael and the Levim would have to carry the different vessels, the different kelim in the Midbar. They were not allowed to look inside the Kodesh Kodashim. It's also to look. It was too holy. It was too Kodesh. Lo yavo liros kivala es HaKodesh. You cannot see the most inner part of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan rather. Vam Rav Yehuda Amarav Bishas Achnasis kelim l'nirdak shalem. When they would bring the kelim, the vessels into the the coverings, when they'd carry them through the Midbar, they're not able to look. They have to kind of go backwards. They couldn't see it inside. So how could it be? In the Mishkan, they couldn't look at the Kodesh Kodashim, they couldn't look at the Aron. When it came to the Beis HaMikdash, they exposed the Aron. So why was it allowed in the Beis HaMikdash, and it was not allowed in the times of the Mishkan? So the Gemara answers, Amar of Nachman, Moshel Lekala, it's compared to a Kala. Kolzman, she beveis aviyah, when the Kala is in the house of her father, she's only engaged, but she's not married yet to her husband. Tzenua, Mibayla, she's very tzenua to her husband, she's uncomfortable, they have not been with each other yet, she's very tzenua. But the moment Kevin Shevasa Lebeis Chameh, when she moves to her father-in-law's house, which means they're married now, there's Nisuin, then Einot Tzenua Mibayla, now she's more comfortable to be around her husband. So in the Mishkan, they're the status of Erison. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Bebeis Avia means Beiruseha, they were only engaged, if you will, in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Klai Yisrael, if you will. Af Yisrael, Bemidbar, Adayin Lohayu Gasim B'Shechina, they were not yet comfortable with the Shechina. Gasim means you're comfortable. They weren't comfortable yet. So the Shechina was a certain tzenius that was there. They couldn't see the Arum. They couldn't see the Kodesh Kodashim. But once they got to build a Beis HaMikdash, where there's a full-fledged Nisuin, they got married. So at that point already, they were comfortable, and they were able to see inside the Kodesh Kodashim. Gemara then says further, it says, Meisiv Rav Chana Barav Ketina Meisiv B'Kohen Shaya Misasek V'chulei. So this was during the Bais Rishon, and then he was able to figure out where the place of the Arun was, and he died. So why? What happens had he saw the Aron? Is it a big deal to see the Aron? We said during the Beis HaMikdash, well, there's a certain Nisun going on, there's a certain comfort level, there's not so much to see us. So let him see the Aron. Let him find the Aron. What's the big deal finding the Aron? Why did he die? So the Gemara says, Amr Leh Nisgarsha Kamris. They were divorced, right? This is Bais Sheni. During Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni, during the Churban Bais Rishon, that 70 years of Galus, there was a certain Gerishon. They got divorced. Klai Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nisgarsha Chaz L'Chibas HaRishona. So when they got divorced, and then they got remarried, so that remarriage, the beginning of the couple coming back together, they had that same level of tznius in the beginning until they got comfortable with each other again. So this event apparently took place at the beginning of Bais Sheni, where that comfort level with the Shechin and Klai Yisrael was not just there yet, and therefore that's why he died, because of he almost saw the Arum. So now before we go weiter, take a look at the Rashi here. 1 second. No, actually, I'm not there yet. I keep jumping. I want to get to that Rashi. We'll get to the Rashi. Fine. But by asking, what's the case here? What's the case here? We said that they exposed the Parochas, and they saw the Kruvim. So which Bais HaMikdash was referring to when they went to Alila Regel? E name of the Mikdash Rishon, mi hava Parochas. If this is referring to the Bais HaMikdash Bais Rishon, we know already there was no Parochas, nothing to reveal, nothing to expose. So Ella must be B'Mikdashen. Now the problem with Mikdashen is, mi hava Kruvim? There are no Kruvim. There's no Aron in the Bais Sheni. So when did this event take place where they removed the parochas to see the Aron in the Kruvim? It couldn't be Bais Rishon again because there's no parochas. It couldn't be Bais Sheni because there's no Kruvim. So the Gemara answers, Liolim b'Mikdash Rishon. Really, this took place in Mikdash Rishon. Umay parochas, what was the parochas? But parochas debave, the parochas that was on the outside, the Mikdash Sheni, the Amar Rav, Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rav, Shlosha asar parochas hayu b'mikdash. In Bayis Sheni, there are 13 curtains. Now, we're talking about Bayis Rishon, but even though some of the curtains were not there, there were a lot more curtains, though. Look what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, again, there are 13 parochos during Bayis Sheni. Shiva connected Shiva Sharim. Each of the seven gates to the Azara had a curtain. Shtaim achas lepischa shel heichal, achas lepischa shel ulam. Another curtain where you walked into the heichal. Another curtain where you walked into the ulam. Shtaim bedvir, two by the dvir. Those were the, you know, instead of the amatraksin, Bayis Sheni had the two curtains. So those were the two curtains that had during Bayis Sheni. And Shtaim Keneged Aliyah, those are two curtains where you can access the base of Mikdash from the attic, from the second level. Those had curtains coming from the Aliyah down to the main floor. So these are 13. Now, even though we don't have two of them in Bayis Rishon, the two parochos that were the amatraksin, the other 11 were present during the Bayis Rishon. So we expose those parochos, referring to opening up those parochos. That's what the Gemara means. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says here, Shalosh Esrei Parochos Hayu B'Mikdash Sheni, there are 13 in the second base of Mikdash, Shiva L'Shiva Shari Azara, Shtaim B'Dvir B'Makum Amatraksin, Shtaim Keneged L'Chutz Bein Aliyas HaHechel, L'Aliyas Beis Kachay Kadashim, V'Chi Heched B'Mikdash Sheni, just like during Bayis Sheni, Hayu Parochos Keneged Pesachim, Hachnami B'Mikdash Rishon. So when we said that they exposed the parochos to see the our own Kruvim, that was referring to parochas, probably the parochas by the Heichal, where you could see in the corner, maybe through the Amatraks, and you're able to see somehow in the into the Kodesh Kodashim and the Kruvim. That's one shot. Now, which steer, what do you mean?
Because on Nunbet, you spoke about, you said that the Kohen, the same Machlokas, was it by Bishon that he walked by the parochas or not?
But that's parochas of the Kodesh Kodashim. This is a different parochas that was in front of the Heichal. That removed that parochas so you could see somehow through the corner, you're able to see into the Kodesh Kodashim. So let's go back for a second. I did miss this Rashi. I was right initially. Go back to the Rashi up much higher, v'yotzim paparochas. So if you look at that Rashi there, it's around like 20 narrow lines down. Rashi v'yotzim paparochas, ha-parusa keneged pesach shebemechites amatraksin. Rashi tells us here is, in Bayis Rishon, where there was a wall between the Kodesh, Kodashim, and the Heichal, there was still actually a little opening. In that wall, there was Amatraksin, there was a Pesach, but Pesach be'emsa Ama, there's the entrance, there's a little window in the center of the Amatraksin, Keneged the Arun Kodesh, and Haya of the Mikdash Rishon. So when we spoke about the Badim protruding, we know there are only Badim in the Arun and Mikdash Rishon. But there was no parochas, amatraksin. So it says, in the big wall, there's a tiny pesach, like a little window. They put a little curtain over there. That's where the bottom came out. That's what the Gemara was referring to earlier. Now we're talking about different parochas, says the Gemara. The parochas by the heichal, or the parochas by the ulam, where they'd open it up during the regel, and you're able to somehow see, maybe from the corner, into the Kodesh Kedashim. So now the Gemara says, that's one answer. But the Gemara is going to give a second answer. Says the Gemara, Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar liolam b'mikdash sheni. Really referring to mikdash sheni when there was a parochas, but there is no badim, there's no kruvim. So kruvim, which kruvim are we referring to? Kruvim ditzurasa havakaimi. There are certain images of kruvim that were written all over the walls. We'll see them sukkim in just a second. Look at the last Rashi in the page here. The kruvim ditzurasa mitzuyarin b'kosa b'minei simamanim. They would kind of paint color on the walls images of the kruvim. Or maybe they'd etch them in bekiros ha'etz in the wood behind the beams mikol se'avanim. So it wasn't referring to the kruvim, the golden kruvim of the Aron, rather kruvim that were all over the Kodesh Kedashim, other places in the base of Mikdash. That's what it was referring to. So Gemara is going to bring a ride just a second here. The pasuk says dichsiv. It says in the pasuk here. Actually, before we go to the pasuk, just look at Rashi for rather Tos on the top here. Tos writes kruvim the tzurasa. He says, "Nishalti al osam shemitzayarim b'machzorim tzuros chayos ve'ofos im yafa osin im lav." Apparently, that's some sedurim, some machzorim that they had drawn some pictures of animals, wild animals and birds. Is that appropriate or not appropriate? So Tosas answers, "V'hishafti nearly devadei lo yafa osim." It's not correct to have pictures in the siddur. Shemitoch shemistaklin b'tzuros halalu. When you're looking at the, you know, I don't know, the cow and the bird and whatnot. You're not paying attention to davening, and therefore he felt it was inappropriate. However, Mia ain kan iser de lo tasi l'chapesli. He did not find that there's an iser. If you look at Amud Beis, which we're not going to go through, it's a massive Tosfos. He goes on to discuss the issur of drawing images of animals, whether it's us or not us. He says, oh, it's only us if you actually build a 3D image, but to color a flat, you know, that's not considered us. This is part of a larger discussion whether certain images are allowed or not allowed. Can you make a picture of a sun? You can't make a sun, you can make a moon. This is part of a larger discussion. Either way, he says from here, that's why it was not us to write on the walls in the base of Mikdash, because it wasn't a 3D image. That was the understanding of Tosfos. So either way, how do we know that the base of Mikdash was adorned with different images? So the Gemara explains as follows. It says, I'm just getting the Pesukim out, hold on. It says here, the Chsiv, we're back inside the Gemara now. The Chsiv, it says that this Eis Kol Kiros, Habayis Mesav, all the walls were surrounded color with different designs. There were kruvim, there were timoros, which is a tamar, a date tree, upture titim, which is trees that were blossoming, v'tzipe zav, miyusha al hamuchuka, and it was plated with gold over the etched in designs, uksiv kimar ish viloyos, and the man was joining with his companion. What does that mean? My kimar ish viloyos, amiraba bar rafshila, going on to my base now, kish hamura viloyos shalo. That a man who's hugging, who's embracing his companion, his wife, says Rashi in the top here, Ki'ish ha'mu'ura b'loya shalo, ha'nidbak v'chibak v'isho bein zirosav. So you had these different images of husband and wives hugging each other throughout the Beis HaMikdash. Very interesting. So Gemara tells the Ma'isa that Amar Rish Lakish said, B'sho she'nichnesu nachim l'heichal. When the Nachim came in, the Romans came into the base of Mikdash, and Ro'el Kruvim Hamurin Zebazet, they saw that the Kruvim were hugging each other. They felt it was a very strange thing to do. Hotzi and Lashuk, they took the Kruvim out to the Shuk and started making fun of Klai Yisrael. Amru, they said, Yisrael Halalu, this nation of Klai Yisrael, Shebirchasan Bracha, Vakalasan Klala, that which way they bless becomes blessed, that which they curse is cursed. They have a Kacha Divur, such a holy nation. Even they agreed to what a holy nation this was. Yet Yasku B'dvarim Halalu. This is what they're osik in, a man and woman hugging each other inside the Kodesh Kodesh, and that's what the most precious thing is, complete opposite of what one would have thought. So miyad hizilum shenemar, they immediately start to disgrace Am Yisrael, and they go out and they say the pasuk kol mechabdeh, all those who were once honored, hiziluha ki ro ervasa, they were disgraced because they saw the ervasa of Klai Yisrael. This is a very, very important gemara. When a person gives a chassan class, this is one of the first sources sometimes they share, because sometimes people think that this Indian of relations is something that's a disgusting thing, something that's inappropriate, it's a certain Indian of a taiva. But we see based on the Gemara that inside the Kodesh Kodashim, the holiest place, this is actually the highest level, husband and wife. So then the Gemara says further, Tana, the Brisa teaches that Shtia Haisa Nikres, this Evan Shtia that was in the center of the base of Mikdash, where the Aron was, so what's the nature? Why is it called Shtia? So Gemara explains, Tana, that with Brisa says, Mimena Hushtas Ha'olam. From this rock is where the world was founded, where the world was created. So Gemara is going to quote Machlokas how the world was actually created. So Tanan Kaman Damar, our Mishnah holds, Mitzion Nivra Olam. The world was initially created from Tzion, from Yerushalayim, and from there everything sprouted forth. The Tanya, the Brisa says that Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Olam Me'am Tziuso Nivra. It was created from the center of the world, from Eretz Yisrael, from Yerushalayim, from this rock was where it was created. Shenamar, Bitzekas Afar Lamutak, or government Yudubaku, where they took some, they poured some dirt, and they created clumps, and from the clumps, everything spread out. But it started off in the center, in one rock. It was one rock initially, and from that rock is where everything, the clumps of dirt, spread throughout the world. That's how our Mishnah assumes, calling Evan Shtia, that everything was hushtas from that rock. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rabbi Yeshua argued. We know Rabbi Yelzer, Rabbi Yeshua had a number of machlokas, and by the way, about the creation of the world. So when it was created and whatnot. So here's another one, machlokas, how it was created. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Olam Minat Stodim Ziver. He felt, no, it was the opposite. It started from the outside, from the four corners, and then it was built and created towards the inside. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, it says, Kila Sheleg Yomar Heve Aretz, V'geshem Matar, V'geshem Mitros Uzo. So the Drush is, it says the word rain four times. It says Geshem Matar, Geshem Mitros. Four times represents the four corners of the world. It started from the four corners of the world somehow, and then it came into the center. So then the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar. He said, Eben Yara Kadosh Baruch Hu Bayam, Kadosh Baruch Hu threw a rock in the sea. Mimena Nishas Olam. From there, the world sprouted, the land sprouted. She made like a volcano of some sort. You know, a volcano turned into land. However, this all works with the scientists, what their understandings are. So Shenamar says in the Pasuk, that Ame Adaneha Hadba, on what did our master create the world? Omi Yara Evan Pinasa, from throwing a rock, is where the world was created from. The Chacham Omer, they felt that Mitzion Nivrashinamar, they felt like the first Pini Rabbi Eliezer, it was created from Tzion. How do they know? It says in the Pasuk Shinamar, Mizmar Lasav Kel Elokim Hashem, that Kadosh Baruch Hu had brought the world in, Vomer Mitzion Michal Yofu. From Tzion, Kadosh Baruch Hu spread out his beauty, the beauty of the world, Mimenu Muchlal Yofyo Shalom. From there, the beauty of the world was created. The Tani, the Brisa says, further now, Rabbi Eliezer, Gadol Omer, Elu Soldos Hashemayim Va'aretz, Bibaram, were the outgrowths, the creations of the sky and the land, was created this way. Biyom asos Hashem elokim haaretz b'shamayim, the day that Hashem created the world. What does that mean? Todos shemayim mishamayim nivru, todos haaretz mi'aretz nivru. All the different creations of the sky came from the sky itself, and the creation of the ground came from the ground. Chacham omrim, elu ve'elu mitzion nivru. He said, no. Not true. Mitzion, from Yerushalayim, from the Evan Shtia, everything was created. Not only was the Aretz created from the Evan Shtia, but even the Shemayim was created from the Evan Shtia. Shinemar, it says in the Pasuk, Mizmor la'asav kel elokim Hashem diber, vayikra eretz mimizrach shemesh amivo. From this place, he called the land from the east into the west, from the sunrise to sunset. Vomer, Mitzion michla yofi elokim hofir. From there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the beauty from the entire world, mimenu muchla yofi shel olam, the entire world, bein Shemayim, bein va'aretz. So we'll stop here. Let's quickly recap what we saw. A bit of a hard recap. We discussed initially about the whether or not the Aron was nignaz or whether it was not, or was taken to Bava. We hope Big Machlok is about that. And then about the Pesuk Ma'adhim Azeh or Sham Adhim Azeh, whether that meant to be literally, eternally or not. And then the discussion about where the Aron was hidden in the Har Bayis. And we found that it was based on the Lishchas Dir Ha'etim, a number of stories that took place there. The sparks, the guy who died, the fire that came out. And then about the Badim, which protruded through the Parochas that was in the center of the Amatraxin. There's a little window and a little Parochas. The Badim protruded from there, but it didn't pierce through. And then that they would expose the Parochas during Regel to show how Chaviv, and you saw the Kruvim hugging each other. So there are no Kruvim during Bayis Sheni, but there's no Parochas during Bayis Rishon. So the Gemara gave two answers. One answer was that Bayis Rishon, there's Parochas of the Ulam of the Heichel, and or Bayis Sheni, they're looking at the Kruvim that were etched along the wall. And then the Gemara talks about how, although the Romans came and made fun of us, the Kruvim were hugging each other, but the truth is that showed the beauty, the love of Kadosh Baruch Hu had for Klai Yisrael. And then the Big Machlokas, how the world was created, was it created from the center to the outside, or from the outside to the inside? Everybody have a wonderful day and a good Shabbos.